What's up, guys?
Evolutionary.org. Raw Hardcore Radio coming your way. We have Steve SMI, your host. And joining me is your favorite guy, Masonic Bodybuilder, the Mason, is with us.
You guys are going to love this one, I promise. This is the one you've been asking for. This is the one about the juice.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the sauce in this one, guys. We're going to talk about shit that no other podcast talks about. All right, so the first question, they want to know about all about testosterone. We're going to talk all about testosterone, all the different esters. All right, so let me go through the main esters, okay, and tell you the half-lives of these things. Okay, you have sustenin and onadrin, which is the same thing. Okay, the longest is 15 days on that. Cypionate, 12 days. Enanthate, 10.5 days. Propionate, 3.5 days. Suspension is 1 day or less. It's in and out. Phenylpropionate is 4.5 days. Isocaprionate is 9 days. Decanate is 15 days. And undecanate is 16.5 days. That is a long time. So what are half-lives? You know, let me tell you about half-lives. And then, Matt, you can talk about detection times. But half-life is something a lot of guys get confused about. Okay, so let's take enanthate, for example. It's a 10.5-day half-life. So let's say 10 days on testosterone E. So what does that mean? That means if you inject 500 milligrams today, 10 days from now, half of that will be in your system. Then another 10 days after that, half of what was remaining will be in your system. And then 10 days after that, half of what was remaining will be in your system. So it'll slowly tick away over time. Now, if you continuously are injecting, say you inject today, then you inject again in 4 days. So whatever you injected today will be in your system half as much in 10 days. Then whenever you inject 4 days from now, half of that will be in your system 14 days from now, and so on. So as you inject, even though steroids start working right away as soon as you inject them, okay, they do go in your bloodstream and start working, as you inject over time and as the half-lives slowly tick out, it's building up in your system faster than it's kind of ticking off in your system. So as you inject, it starts, you know, getting hot more and more in your system, okay, and you're going to reach a peak about 4 to 5 times the half-life. So an enanthate, for example, if it has a 10-day half-life, you'll hit a peak in your system. They'll start peaking in 4 to 5 weeks if you're injecting on a normal schedule. If you're injecting propionate, which is a 3.5-day half-life, then you multiply that by between 4 and 5. So in that case, let's say 3 days half-life times 4 would be 12 days, times 5 would be 15 days. So you're looking at probably between 2 and 3 weeks on propionate to be, you know, peaking your system. So that's how half-lives work, guys. It's not like what people think where you inject it and then after 10 days, if you're talking about enanthate, it's magically out of your system. Okay, it doesn't work like that. That's not what half-life means. It means exactly what it means, which is exactly the way it's written. Half-life. Okay, so a lot of these guys on YouTube and a lot of these people on forums, they kind of tell, you know, they give bad information. You know, they think it's just out of your system after those days.
This is how guys easily fuck up their PCT. They start doing SERMs and shit right away after last injection, or they don't. They're 2 days in after their last injection, and they say, oh, I feel great. I must be recovered. No, it's been 2 days since your last injection. 10 days is the half-life, basically, if you're using enanthate. These things are going to be in your system for a long time, you know, so that you got to understand these things. This is why it takes years of research before you fully understand how these things work. And this is why we're always preaching to you guys to take the time and know what the hell you're doing, because it's real easy to screw it up and to hurt yourself. So detection times are completely different, okay? Not that a lot of us are tested, but if you're an athlete, Like, this is really important. Half-life has nothing, well, it indirectly has to do with detection time, okay? What it is, for a steroid to be detected, there has to be a certain amount in your system. That certain amount doesn't mean you have to have half or more. So it doesn't mean after 10 days you're safe because you have less than half of the hormone in your system after one injection. That's not how it works at all. Detection time is exactly what Steve was explaining. You have your half-life that repeats itself over and over and over and over again until eventually there's a negligible, undetectable amount or nothing in your system. So obviously it depends on the ester you're running, but just for some of the common ones, so if you're running, you know, the three typical long ones you would run for tests, cypionate, sustanon, or enanthate, you're looking there, it could be 3 months or so before these things are not detected anymore. Yeah, you won't be on, you won't be making steroid gains anymore, but there's enough in your system that a steroid test will detect these. Okay, prop, another very common steroid that's used, 2 weeks. So this is one where I see athletes get caught all the time. They think, oh, you know, it's going to be in and out of my system in 3 days. Not true at all. 2 weeks, it can still be in there. The only way that these athletes are getting away with using testosterone is really suspension. 1 to 2 days, could be even less, that it's out of your system. So a lot of these testing agencies, you know, they'll give you a 3 day, a week, even sometimes a 2 week if you're lucky window. And then obviously, you know, you stop using these things. So that's how detection time works. Very different than half-life. It can take a long time. I know DECA, for example, is one that's up in the air. Some people argue 6 months to a year. Some people argue 18 months it's detectable in your system. So bottom line, if you're going to be tested for whatever reason, you need to be extremely careful, err on the side of caution all the time, and don't risk it for sure.
Yeah, and we'll get into DECA later. The decanate, see, a lot of people get confused because testosterone decanate is a type of testosterone ester. DECA, people are talking about decadurobolin, which is a long ester nandrolone. So we'll get into DECA a little later for sure on that. But let's talk about, you know, these testosterone esters and how they work, all right? Because one of the biggest myths that you hear, and most people spread this myth on forums or on, you know, social media and stuff, and it needs to be corrected, and that is the sustenon myth that you have to inject sustenon every day or every other day or twice a week or three times a week. That's just not true, guys. Sustenon was actually designed to be injected every 2 to 3 weeks, okay? Because it was originally produced for testosterone replacement therapy. So the way they designed it was a 4-ester blend, okay? And a 4-ester blend, what it does is you have a short ester, an intermediate ester, and then two very, very long esters that are part of the sustenon blend. And what they do is they kind of pick up after each other. So, you know, let's remember, okay, also that onadrin is exactly the same thing as sustenon. So, you know, what they contain are 30 milligrams of propionate, which is very, very little. Okay, that's what, 1/12 of all of sustenon out of the 250. 50 milligrams of phenylpropionate. 60 milligrams of isoprorate, and 100 milligrams of decanate ester. The decanate ester is 15 days. The isoester is 9 days. So most of it are those esters. So why would you inject it every day or every other day? It doesn't even make sense. If 160 milligrams of it is long esters out of the 250, you should treat it like a long ester. The way it was designed is you inject a large dose. Okay, then the esters kind of pick up after each other. You get a balance that way. And then after 2 or 3 weeks, you inject it again. So this cuts down on the injections. And in Eastern Europe, they actually use onadrin for TRT. In the United States, they don't. In the United States, most doctors prescribe cypionate or enanthate. Okay, that has a lot to do with the drug companies. That's just what the drug companies kind of market. That's to do with that. In Britain, they call it sustenin. They call the Forester blend sustenin. In East Europe, they call it anadrin. So that explains sustenin and omadrin. So, you know, Matt, tell us about your favorite testosterone ester and why.
I prefer long esters. I prefer either cypionate or enanthate. I really don't notice a difference. It's so close to me. I prefer not to use a blend for a few reasons. One, you'll get a little bit more pip. Obviously, there's a lot of factors when it comes to that, but you will get more just because of the short esters that are in there. So if I'm going to use a long ester, I'd rather just use one that doesn't come with that as a side effect. The other reason I prefer cypionate or enanthate is I'd rather pin less, to be honest. I know there's some of you sickos out there that love pinning every day and you get off on that shit, but I'd rather pin once, twice a week and be done with it and just focus on the rest of my life. They're smoother to inject. It's easier to stay on your schedule. If you miss a day, 2 days even, when you're supposed to inject, it's not really a big deal. So it's much more forgiving. I guess technically with longer esters, there's slightly less actual hormone in there. But I would argue that that's negligible in the long run. I mean, it's kind of like those couple drops that get left in the syringe. It's not really, we're not really talking anything that's going to matter on your cycle. I just prefer it out of ease. Like, I try to keep things simple. When you're injecting short esters, you got to do every other day. So if something comes up and you're busy, it's a pain, and, you know, then you got the pip, and it's just you're trying to rotate a lot more different sites that you have.
Yeah.
I just find it easier, right?
I've used suspension, testosterone suspension. It is awful. I don't recommend using that shit. It's just horrible. If you're a tested athlete, that would be the only reason to use suspension. I would not recommend using suspension at all. Because that's gonna, you know, work in your system, if, you know, for half a day, and then you've got to inject it again the next day. It's just horrible. Unless you're a tested athlete and you're worried about getting busted, so I wouldn't even bother with suspension. Propionate. Some guys argue, hey, propionate gives me less bloat. Hey, more power to you. I mean, if that's what you think and that's what works for you, run it. I mean, if you're gonna run propionate, you're gonna have to inject it every 2 days. You know, so maybe you can get away with every 2.5 days, but I'd say about every 2.5 days, you're going to have to inject it to get balance levels. So for me, I'm like Matt. I like the long esters, cypionate, enanthate, you know, 10 to 12 day half-life on those. Inject it once a week or twice a week, you know, and that works great for you. So that explains the testosterone, different esters, and half-lives on those. So we're going to talk about EQ now. Now, Boldenin is one of my personal favorites. Matt, you've used it. Tell us why you like it. Tell us why you don't like it.
Okay, I like it for a lot of reasons, actually. There's not a whole lot not to like about EQ. I like it because the aromatization is so little. Because this is a long ester, guys. We just talked about these esters, and this is just about as long as it gets at 15 or 16 days. So you obviously still want to run an AI. You're likely stacking this with tests because that's kind of what people do. So you're gonna need to run that anyway. But the actual EQ on its own is not going to give you any bloating. The one thing that's very different with EQ, unlike any other steroid, it will give you a significant increase in your endurance. You won't find that with anything else. You'll find that most steroids actually hurt your endurance and hurt your cardiovascular health. EQ will really help it. It's nice. You only have to inject it once a week. You might as well do twice if you're stacking it, but once a week is going to be plenty. Side effects are very low, if anything. You still have the standard, you know, side effects of almost any steroid you're going to use, possible hair loss, oily skin, those kind of things, but nothing major and nothing specific with it. Only slightly different as far as I find, and I don't get it personally, is people will report an increased appetite. So I'm not sure if it's because I don't run it extremely high. I find 600 milligrams a week is plenty. I know guys that run 800 plus, so maybe that's this side effect really comes in. So if you're getting that side effect, you're cutting, maybe that's something to be aware of. But it's so versatile. You could use it in a bulking, you could use it in a cutting cycle, you can use it recomp, endurance, you can use it anywhere, and you don't really have to worry about you don't have to worry about prolactin like you do with nandrolones and that. Like, there's really not a whole lot to worry about. It's just an easy compound to use.
So a little bit.
And it's smooth to inject, too.
Yeah, it is, definitely. That's my favorite thing about it. It's smooth to inject. You don't have to inject it often. Background on EQ, equipoise, also called boldenone. It is a horse steroid. That is true. It's used in horse racing quite a bit because it is so good with the endurance. So, it's great to use for race horses. One of the biggest myths, though, on EQ, and a lot of people will argue with you on this, is that EQ is a vet steroid. And that is true. Today, it is a vet steroid, but originally it was not. Okay, the original trade name was actually Paranoble. And it was brought to market by SIBA back in the 1950s, okay? So it was actually used in medicine for 20 years, human grade. So anyone who tells you, oh, it's a vet steroid, blah, 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 no, it's not a vet steroid, okay? You know, these fucking people on forums, again, they're so fucking ignorant on this shit, or these guys, you know, these bros in your gym, okay, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. It is not a fucking horse steroid originally. It's a human fucking grade steroid designed to prevent muscle wasting, okay? So you're not going to inject it and turn into a fucking racehorse when you take it, all right? So, yeah, today it's used in horse racing, but originally it was human grade. Okay, so let's talk about equipoise. On paper, yeah, it's fucking weak, okay? It's only got 100 anabolic rating, same thing as testosterone, and it's a 50 androgenic rating. It also has, you know, it's also very, very slow to aromatize, okay? So you're not going to fucking inject EQ and after a fucking couple of weeks blow up, you know, 20 pounds, okay? If you're looking for that, EQ isn't the thing for you. It's a very slow, people say, oh, it's a slow builder, it takes a long time. No, it's not that. It's just that it just is a mild steroid. It's not going to give you a shitload of side effects. It's not very androgenic at all, I mean. So it's kind of like using, you know, a low dose of testosterone with very little androgen, okay? So it's very low with side effects, okay? Oral equipoise is just not effective. I mean, it was tried at one time. So you're going to have to inject this stuff, okay? The way you inject it has a very long half-life, okay? The half-life of the undeclanate ester is 15 days. So it's going to take many, many weeks to reach peak in your system, and it's going to take many, many weeks to clear your system. And it's going to have a 5-month detection time. So if you're looking to get, if you're going to possibly get tested as an athlete, you're playing college sports, you know, you're a pro athlete listening to this, EQ isn't a good idea at all, okay? Because within 5 months, you will get busted if you get tested. So the nice thing about EQ, though, like Matt said, it does not aromatize very much. So you're not going to get those estrogenic side effects. You're not going to get very many androgenic side effects. It's not going to strain your heart like other steroids. It will raise your red blood cell count. It's not going to give you pumps, so you can really use it for your cardio, okay? Because it doesn't increase your pumps. It doesn't add water retention. It raises your blood cell count. It does a lot of things that will benefit your endurance without hurting your endurance. So it's a great steroid. It's one of my favorites, like I said. In my experience, it doesn't really raise my appetite. Some people complain it does. Another thing that some people say is that it causes anxiety. You know, they're like, oh, because it's a horse steroid, increases anxiety. In my experience, you know, it does not raise anxiety at all. If you already suffer from anxiety and you use equipoise, yeah, it's probably going to raise your anxiety. You know, that's a perfect example. But I'm telling you, it should not do that if you are a sane, normal person. So
EQ is a pretty mild anabolic. It shouldn't be giving you crazy side effects like anxiety. That's more typically the androgenic, you know, steroids that'll give you more side effects like that.
Yeah.
Another thing with EQ, like you, Steve just mentioned, that it increases red blood cell count. That is correct. So do a lot of steroids. So there's this talk out there that EQ is the only one, or it's so significant. You guys should be giving blood, donating blood on any cycle, not just with EQ.
Yep.
Okay, so I don't know where this story started either, that EQ is this, it's, you know, 10 times other steroid. No, it's not like that, guys. It does, but so does all the other ones. Another thing I wanted to mention, too, and this is kind of funny where we talk about on paper versus in real life. So chemically, when you look at EQ and you look at Dianabol on paper, they are almost identical. They couldn't be any more different in practice, in real life, when you talk about the side effects and you talk about D-ball, you can blow up in 4 days. EQ, you're not even going to notice anything in 4 weeks. On paper, literally, the only difference is the 17AA, which makes the D-ball liver toxic so it can pass through the liver. That's where the ester is in the EQ. That's the substitution there. That's the only difference. But in life, it's significantly different. So we talk about these things on paper. It's very different, guys. And last thing, just because I find it's an interesting fact, it's just something different that guys don't really know. EQ, when you get it as a raw form, it's actually not a powder like everything else. It's almost like a syrup. Like, it's pretty thick. It just has a low melting point, and in your hand, it would literally kind of melt like that. Just something different, right?
Yeah, and then, you know, my recommendations with EQ is you want to stack maybe a low dose of a long ester testosterone with it and mix them in the same syringe when you inject. So that cuts down on the injecting. Or you can run a low dose of D-Bol with it. Maybe just a little bit of a little trend with it. Any of those options, just a little androgen with it. I personally like to run EQ solo. Because I don't care about those androgenic side effects. If I am in a situation where I just am looking for health, I'll run like 400 milligrams a week of it just by itself and maybe stack some SARMs with it and stack some cartarine with it because I'm really looking for health and endurance. So, you know, those are options for you. But like I said, it's not something you inject and after 2 or 3 weeks you're going to blow up 20 pounds or add 50 pounds to your bench. So if that's what you're looking for, look somewhere else. All right, so the next one we're going to talk about is T-Bol, Turinabol. Now, the history behind this one is it was developed in East Germany in the 1960s, and the sole reason it was developed, this is really cool, this is one of the few anabolic steroids that were developed purely for performance enhancing. They wanted the East Germans, their East German teams, to kill it, both male and female, in the Olympics. So that's why they developed it. It was developed by a pharma company called Genopharm in East Germany. So let's talk about T-Bol. The facts behind it, it's a derivative of D-Bol that does not aromatize and produces slow end quality gains. That is the characterization. The interesting thing, T-Bol and D-Bol are pretty much almost the same thing on paper. The only difference is that there's an added 4-chloro alteration with T-Bol. That's the difference between the two. T-Bol has a 0 androgenic rating and is a mild 53 anabolic rating. So you got 0 androgenic and 0 estrogenic activity, unlike D-Bol, which has a shitload of estrogenic activity. So with T-Bol, it's really good to use as part of a stack. It's really good for muscle hardening. It's really good for vascularity. It's really good for pumps. But you need to stack it. You need to stack an androgen with it for it to work well. So it's not a good one, again, if you're looking to throw on 20 pounds overnight. It's not a good one for you, but it can really complement a cycle well. You know, I've used it many times. This is also T-Bol, like EQ, is one of my favorite steroids. It is my favorite oral of all the orals. And just like EQ, it is not expensive like some of the more expensive orals out there. So that's a huge advantage. So you could literally stack EQ with T-Bol, and it would not be an expensive cycle. Matt, you've run T-Bol. What have been your experiences in terms of appetite and side effects?
I really liked it. The last time I ran it at 60 milligrams per day for the first 6 weeks. And the thing that I really noticed about it is I felt really good. Just overall, when you have that sense of well-being, I had that the whole time. I just felt like I could just kill it. I really noticed my strength up a lot more than I thought. I thought I might get some strength, obviously, but I didn't realize quite as much. It's right up there with me, right behind D-Ball, with the effects you can actually get from it, but with none of those side effects. So it's so worth it. You don't get any bloating. Like, it's just incredible how much you literally only get benefits, but then you don't really get any side effects. Obviously, it is liver toxic, so you need to be aware of that when you're running these things. But it's probably one of my favorites too, just for the fact that you will get results on it immediately. I like to split the dose. You can do it either way. I don't really advise you to do it the way I do if you don't want to. I like to split it, but you could take it all a couple hours before you train if you wanted to. Some guys like that. You can really, it's really another versatile steroid. You could use it a whole bunch of different ways. I would rather use it in a recomp, would probably be my favorite way to use it. In bulking or cutting, you could use it in either one. It's not going to give you the weight like you would if you were bulking and you wanted that wet look, but it will give you the performance in the gym if you want to bulk and do it the right way and add clean mass. So I find it's mild, but you still do want to be aware of the liver factor when you're running this.
Yeah, it is liver toxic, so you definitely want to run N2Guard. You can buy from NeedToBuildMuscle.com, which contains tutka, milk thistle, and other liver aids in it. One of my favorite stacks with T-Bol is stacking a little trenbolone with it. That's actually a stack that allowed me to set PRs in powerlifting. And the reason it works so well is, and as T-Bol is basically binding to SHBG, so it makes your tren work so much better without adding side effects. So it really does a good job of working in synergy with tren. So tren is your androgen, and then T-Bol is your little anabolic. So they really stack well together, guys. And, you know, when you're taking T-Bol, just imagine in your head those East German athletes that did so well in the Olympics back in the day. So they were really competitive. They really wanted to show the rest of the world that, you know, they meant business. So it's a great steroid for sure. And my personal recommendation on dosage, anywhere from 30 to 50 milligrams a day, split dose. And then like Matt, I would add maybe, I would take like 20 milligrams before your workout, maybe like an hour and a half, 2 hours before, just to give you a little bit of a psychological edge. But I really do think it helps increase pumps while you're working out, because it's such a great hardener, such a good steroid when it comes to vascularity. So I like to take a little extra, especially before I'm working my arms, because I like to kind of mire myself in the mirror with those veins popping out of my arms. So it's a great option, guys, for that. So it's great for strength, and it's great for vascularity too. So if you're a bodybuilder or you're a power athlete, it can be utilized both ways. Our next steroid is Decadurobolin. So that's a trade name, and a lot of guys just call it Deca in the gym. If you talk to anyone in their 50s or 60s, their favorite steroid all time is Deca. If you talk to guys in their 20s, no one's ever used Deca. So it's one of those generation steroids that was very popular back in the day. So let's talk about the history real quick. DECA originally was used in, you know, for anemia type diseases. It was it got popular in the bodybuilding community during the post-golden age, especially the 80s and 90s. It was cheap. It was a smooth injection, and it did not aromatize as much as testosterone. It aromatizes, you know, about 20, maybe 25% as much as testosterone. So, you know, it's one of those things that guys back then, they didn't have access to AI, so they would use DECA because they didn't want to blow it up from using testosterone. So they would actually stack DECA with Proviron. That was one of the most common steroid stacks in those days. So, you know, today it's fallen out of favor for a couple of reasons. Number one, the aesthetic crowd. All the guys in their 20s now, they want to be like Zizzy. They want to be 4 or 5% body fat. They want to look like they're starved. So they won't use DECA because DECA has a reputation for causing bloat. DECA also has a reputation for causing DECA dick. DECA dick is basically where you can't get hard. So you get a noodle dick. A lot of guys complain about that. If you Google DECA dick, you'll see tons of articles, tons of people on forums complaining about DECA dick. And another reason it's fallen out of favor is now we have aromatized inhibitors. So instead of using DECA, guys could run testosterone. They can run something more androgenic, and they can offset that estrogen using these AIs, because these AIs will disable the enzyme from aromatizing. So those are reasons it's fallen out of favor, but if you ask anyone in their 50s and 60s their favorite steroid, they're going to talk about DECA. DECA is great, you know, to use in a stack for strength and for bodybuilding. It's a mass builder. The thing I noticed from running DECA, and I know Matt, you notice the same thing, is the appetite is through the fucking roof. You can eat a meal and you will not get full on it. So if you want to up your calories and you want to bulk, DECA works great. It's also great for mood. When I was on it, I felt great all the time. You know, so those are the two things DECA really brings to the table. How about you, Matt? What'd you feel on DECA?
Yeah, I just want to point out too, when you're talking about the appetite thing, that's one of the big factors you guys should consider if you're thinking, okay, I'm running a decent dose of test, so that's going to be my androgen. I'm looking for a mild anabolic. Should I run EQ or should I run DECA? And you hear a lot of people talk about how they're similar, and that is true. They're both mild anabolics. They can be similar. But if you're not looking to bulk, I would go with EQ. DECA, much better for bulking because of that appetite. You will be able to eat an unbelievable amount. Okay, so and when you're bulking, we talked about this in a past episode, you need to eat food, and that's where DECA can be awesome. I think it's one of those things, it's going to make a big-time comeback in popularity because it's a fantastic steroid. I think it's great to use when you are early on and you advance to where you're bringing in a second compound. I think DECA is a perfect one to bring in to get experience. The side effects are low and very manageable. I think it can give you really, really nice lean gains. And people always associate DECA with blowing up and getting bloated. It doesn't have to be like that if you don't eat, you know, the wrong foods and you watch what you're doing. You can really put on quality muscle. There's a reason why when you look at some of these old physiques, like Arnold's the most obvious example, he looked awesome, right? How many guys are talking now about, you know, everybody now looks like a freak. The old guys looked better, right? The tight waist, the big V taper, big upper bodies. Well, this is what they were using, guys. Like, this was their go-to drug. I think there's a lot of things on paper, and the forums are responsible for a lot of this too, that scare guys away. You know, you read, like Steve just said, like DECA dick and all this stuff, and, you know, I don't want to look puffy. Well, you know what? When you're going to get experienced and you're going to do these things, you need to use them for yourself the right way, and you'll see that That's not how it has to be at all. You could certainly use it to bulk. You can run that typical wet cycle of, you know, high test, high DECA, and D-ball for 4 to 6 weeks, and yeah, you'll blow up like an animal. But you don't have to run it that way. You can run, you know, low test, moderate DECA, and make some really, really nice lean gains the same way. Another thing to point out, because I do get that feeling too, where you do feel really good. Another positive effect you'll get from it is on your joints, they feel good. It can be good and bad because, dude, guys, steroids don't heal injuries. Let's not fool ourselves. They're not going to heal your joints. They're not going to heal any tears or anything you have going on in your knees. But they'll make you feel better, and that's nice. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you do have an injury, it's not something you want to use to cover it up. You could definitely risk further injury. You'll definitely get strong on DECA. So, you know, there is a risk there that, oh, you know, my knees feel good now. I'm going to, you know, go extra heavy on this. And, you know, there you go. You've torn it again. So you just want to be careful with that.
Yeah, that is.
But overall, it's good.
That is a big mistake. You want to make sure. Because DECA, you know, it is true. It's it was one of the reasons, medical purposes, it was used for osteoporosis in females that had, you know, problems with bones. So it does have some collagen synthesis features. It improves bone mineral content, etc. But as a weightlifter, you know, we're not middle-aged women here. We're lifting pretty heavy weights. So expecting DECA to heal your injuries, you know, is not a good idea at all. And you'll end up in worse shape after. So don't use DECA if you're trying to heal your joints. That does not work. So, you know, let's talk about some facts behind DECA. You know, when you take DECA, there's a lot of confusion out there. Some guys think, oh, it's going to raise my prolactin, it's going to raise my, you know, progesterone, it's going to raise my estrogen. You know, the facts of the matter is it doesn't necessarily do that any more than other steroids. What it does do, though, which separates it from other steroids, is it metabolizes into DHN, which is dihydronandrolone. And what this does is it binds to your DHT receptors. Your DHT is your sex hormone. That is responsible for giving us penises as males. It's also responsible for frying your head hair follicles. Okay, so men who run DHT derivative compounds and also other compounds which do metabolize into DHT in smaller amounts will notice they start losing head hair. Also, your prostate becomes enlarged from DHT. But DHT isn't a bad thing. We need DHT to keep us going, you know, keep our erectile dysfunction away, keep our libido up. So when you run DECA, that's the danger of running DECA. And that problem persists when during DECA and then after DECA. It will start persisting. And you may not notice the problem until you're done from your DECA cycle. And it can last you 6 months, even a year after you run DECA, you have DECA dick. So how do we prevent DECA dick? The way to prevent DECA dick is you run a DHT derivative with it, because if it's binding to DHT receptors, it makes sense that you want to throw in a DHT derivative in your cycle. So I recommend guys run Proviron, because Proviron is liver safe, and also you can run Proviron. It's very mild. You can run it throughout your DECA cycle, and it's not going to give you any problems, so it's going to enhance your cycle. So that's an example of what you want to do. Guys in the old days, that's what they would do. They'd run DECA and they'd run Proviron together because they knew it worked, they knew it kept DECA dick away, and also the Proviron is a nice dry compound as well to use with it. So the way I would use it today, since we now have AIs, you can either run like a little testosterone with it. I'd run like 200 milligrams testosterone, 4 to 500 milligrams of DECA a week, and then run 25 milligrams of Proviron a day. Or another option with DECA, this is a great stack, by the way, but this is only for experienced users. And Matt, you're going to love this. I know you haven't done it yet, but eventually, maybe a year or two from now, when you're ready, this is a stack for you. This is going to take you to the next level, and that is running DECA with Tren. That is the monster stack. Because you are stacking a mild compound, a mild anabolic compound, with a very strong androgenic compound. And the synergy you get from a Deca trend cycle is like no other cycle you ever have. That is a tremendous cycle. But only, guys, if you're experienced. I mean, I'm talking about you've got like 5-10 years of cycling steroids on your belt before you run something like that. So overall, guys, don't listen to the bullshit on Deca. It is actually a mild compound. It is not a high side effect steroid, okay? All these side effects you hear people complain about, okay, either they're running other stuff with it, like they'll run lots of testosterone with it, and then they'll complain about estrogen. Well, it's from the testosterone. Deca aromatizes 20% as much as testosterone. So don't blame the Deca. Deca dick, don't blame the Deca. You should have ran Proviron with it. And then after cycle, you need to run your proper supplements. HC Generate and HC Generate Extra Strength ES both have compounds, both have herbs in them that will actually bind to SHBG. So that will help offset any after cycle, any of those problems you get with your free testosterone from using Deca as well. So you run your proper cycles supplements, you run your proper ancillaries during cycle, you won't have problems with Deca. Don't listen to the bullshit. Matt, what's the next steroid?
Let's move on to your favorite, Winnie.
Yeah.
I know you love it. It's couldn't be any more different than Deca, could it? We're talking about a cutter here. Guys always using this to cut. Let's get one thing straight. We've beaten this over the head 1,000 times. Steroids don't burn body fat. Winstrol does not burn body fat. You can't take it and get cut. That's not what it does, guys. It will certainly harden muscles, but it's not going to just magically act like a thermogenic. Winstrol, it's not my favorite. I'll tell you why. I've used it. I do get the side effect with joints. I don't like that. I like to feel good when I'm in the gym. I don't like to feel like I have soreness like in my joints or injuries. I'd rather just feel good. And, you deal with side effects. It's part of the game. But I never found the gains to be enough to offset that for it to be worth running. I'd rather just run something else like Anavar that's mild, not going to give me the side effects like that. I honestly think Winstrol is one of those. It's probably best left to competitors. Where it really works is if you're the guy that's already at, 8% body fat, it's going to work wonders for you because it's just going to harden those muscles and chisel you right out, and it'll have a fantastic effect. And if you're competing, then, who cares about joint pain? You're going to deal with a lot of pain if you're competing when you get down to that time. I think what happened too is, I don't know, maybe it's the last 5 or 10 years. For whatever reason, it seems like athletes keep getting busted for using Winstrol.
Yeah.
And I mean, a while ago it was in baseball and like...
But you know why that is though, right?
Why are these athletes using Winstrol? I need to be using it so I can hit a baseball. Well,
I was going to say, you should know why, being in Canada. Your boy in the 80s got busted for it. That is why. And that's what I was going to bring up. Winstrol was never used by bodybuilders until Ben Johnson got busted by it. So basically what happened was a sprinter named Ben Johnson, he's a Canadian sprinter, he beat the Golden Boy, the Golden Boy American, okay, in sprinting in the Olympics. And then we found out that he had used Winstrol, because he happened to get busted for it. This was in the 1988 Summer Olympics. So what happened was, now all the athletes were saying, oh my God, Ben Johnson was using Winstrol. The bottom line is, Ben Johnson was using a lot of shit. You know why he used Winstrol? Was probably because he wanted to dry out, okay, ahead of his race. You know what I'm saying? But I bet you he was using other shit. He just happened to get busted for Winstrol. So now everyone thinks, oh my God, Winstrol is great for sprinting. Winstrol is great for athletes. Blah, blah, blah. Nobody used Winstrol before that. You know what Winstrol was actually used before that, it was used to treat anemia, and it was used in veterinary medicine. But no one talks about that. Everyone says, oh, EQ is a vet steroid, Tren is a vet steroid. But they never say, oh, Winstrol is a vet steroid. Winstrol is actually the true vet steroid that was never used in fucking bodybuilding. Ask anyone in their 50s and 60s at your gym if they used Winstrol 20 years ago. They'll be like, what the fuck is Winstrol? They probably won't even know what it is. So, you know, ever since Ben Johnson got busted for in the late 80s, it started exploding in the 90s and the 2000s. Everyone wanted to use fucking Winstrol because it was that, you know, they want that kind of, you know, oh, he got busted for it. So they want to be cool, you know. They want to run what Ben Johnson was running because they think that they'll be fast and they'll be muscular like Ben Johnson, like a fucking Olympian. So the bottom line with Winstrol, guys, it is 3 times more anabolic than testosterone on paper, and it is very, very little androgenic. It binds. It's a DHT derivative. We talked about DHT derivatives with the DECA. It's the opposite. Winstrol is as pure a DHT derivative as you can get. What it's going to do, it's going to cause your prostate to enlarge. It's going to fry your fucking head hair follicles, and it's going to dry the shit out of you where your joints are going to hurt. If you're using Winstrol, you should notice your joints, like your elbows, your knees. When you work out, you'll start noticing, oh my God, this shit's dry. Like, my joints are dry. It is a fucking horrible steroid, guys. Horrible fucking steroid. And it fucking destroys your fucking cholesterol in the process. There's no reason to use it. If you are a normal Joe, there is no fucking reason to use Winstrol. If you're competing or you're a model or something, then yeah, use it. Okay, because it's great for drying you out. But if you're a normal Joe, or if you're a power lifter or you're a gym rat, like 99% of us are, Winstrol is shit. Okay, so I would not recommend using Winstrol.
If you're going to just run it as a regular guy, what you might experience, you'll get some drying out. You'll get some strength gains. It's not going to be very noticeable, but you will get some. On paper, one of the benefits, it will bind to SHBG, like Steve talked about before. Basically, SHBG is what binds to testosterone, rendering it useless, which is why your free testosterone levels in your blood work are what matter, not your total testosterone. So that's where, you know, you want to be aware of that. But other than that, you're really not going to get much out of it, guys. And, like, Winstrol is used. If you don't have a good source that's reliable and you think you're buying Anavar and you're using it and your joints start to hurt, guess what? You don't have Anavar or you don't have pure Anavar. It's probably got Winstrol in there because that's something that's faked as well with it being a DHT. I just don't think it's a great option for most of us. And I think that's the thing. We're speaking to the large audience here. Yeah, there's a small percent that, you know, you're competing. It's going to work well for you. But, you know, just a regular guy, I wouldn't bother. I would spend some time. I'd find a good source. I'd use Anavar if you want a DHT and you want to use it to end your cycle. That's probably a much better option for most of you guys.
And let's say you do decide to use Winstrol and you're competing. You know, you want to, usually guys will use it at the end of their, you know, ahead of their competition, or if you have a modeling shoot coming up or you're getting photos done or something, they'll use it at the end as a finisher because it'll dry you out right before the photos. So that's what guys do. So
you know, there's a few things to if you are going to run it anyways, because like I always say, try it out for yourself. If you're going to run it anyways, a few things I'd recommend in case you do run into the joint issues. Ostarin, which we've talked about before, is a SARM. That can help with the joint issues. It can actually help with healing. Fish oil is really good for joints and inflammation. You could take anywhere from 6 to 10 grams per day. And that's important because any good fish oil you get, they're probably going to only recommend about 2 grams a day, but you really need to be, as an athlete, as a weightlifter, as someone that's using something like Winstrol, 6 to 10 grams is going to be pretty important. And there's also some really good joint supplements out there. Need to Build Muscle makes one too, and To Joint RX, 5 tabs a day, split your dose. It's fantastic for joints. I use it every day, not because I'm running Winstrol, but more as a preventative thing as I get older, and it's been really nice. So if you're going to do it anyway, those are some of the things you might want to have on hand, or even just use with it to prevent any of this. It might, you know, it would really go a long way so you're not experiencing that. You don't want to be in the gym and not be able to put up heavy weight on your squat because your knees are sore. You know, like, come on.
Our final steroid we're going to talk about is Dianabol, which is a really, really cool steroid. Dianabol was developed by the Americans after World War II. What happened was the Soviets were racing, you know, to beat us in, you know, competing and stuff in the Olympics and all that. Dr. John Ziegler, he was the U.S. Olympic team doctor, he teamed up with Ceba Pharma. He wanted to come up with something that was like testosterone, but that didn't require injections, because a lot of his athletes were bitching about having to inject. So he came up with D-Bol, and D-Bol is a really cool oral steroid because it is very similar to taking testosterone, but it's in pill form. During the golden age of bodybuilding, Arnold, Cyril, Olivia, those guys, it was said that they were taking D-Bol by the handfuls, okay? They loved D-Bol. They wouldn't use it close to their competition, but they'd use it kind of in the off-season, and they loved the pump that it gave them. So a popular stack they would use was D-Bol with Deca. That was a really popular off-season stack. You know, Arnold talked about the pumps all often in the articles, and that was, you know, you see his videos where his veins are popping out and his muscles look really full. That's D-Bol. That's D-Bol for you. D-Bol is probably one of the most potent steroids when it comes to getting pumps. You know, if you try to go running on it, you'll start noticing your calves feel like balloons. You know, they're popping out. So, you know, on paper, guys, it's both anabolic and androgenic. It's got a 150-50 ratio. But I would say that it was more androgenic than what it says on paper because it is so estrogenic. And that is the problem with D-Bol. As soon as you start taking D-Bol, guys, it's going to aromatize into estrogen very, very rapidly. So if you're going to use it, you want to make sure you're running an aromatized inhibitor. And even with that, it aromatizes so fucking quickly that even with an AI, you're still going to blow. So if you're gyno prone, you're estrogen prone, D-Bol is probably not a good idea for you. I've used it. What I've noticed when I used it, a lot of bloat, boost in hunger, a moderate boost in strength, and definitely my, you know, weight would go up, like, very, very quickly. Like, within a week or two, I'd notice 5 to 8 pounds I'd go up in weight. So it's a really, really, it's a great steroid if you're looking to bulk. If you're looking to move the scale up, it's a great steroid.
If you are bulking, there's nothing better, right? Like, D-Bol is probably the most popular, most well-known steroid for whatever reason. D-Bol or testosterone are both right up there. D-Bol can be your best friend or it can be your worst enemy. If it fits with your goals and if you know what you're doing, it can be amazing. If you're bulking and you just want to add weight, it's going to do it so quickly, like, you won't even be able to keep up. You want to talk about feeling like you're on? Take good quality D-Bol and see how you feel. You'll feel like you're a god. You go into the gym and you just want to do, you know, put more weight on. Like, I just want to kill it. You won't feel like that on anything else. It's just so quick acting, short half-life. You're going to want to dose it, split it up. You could do either 2 to 3 doses per day if you wanted to try to keep it even, or you could do it all pre-workout to get those pumps, like, whatever you want to do. But if that's what you're trying to do, this is the one. This is the one you want. If you're not looking for that, if you're looking to, you know, keep that lean look to you, it will be the worst thing you could take. It's also extremely cheap to buy the raw powder. So if you're using a source that's not good, like I mentioned before, D-ball will be used to fake all the time. So if you think you have something that's dry, like Anavar Winstrol, and you start getting bloated, good chance there's D-ball in there. So you really need to know, this is why we say you need to know how these compounds work so you can pick the right ones. If you're trying to stay lean, stay away from it. D-ball stacks really well. It's also another one that guys will run solo as an oral. And I know that's a very controversial topic, oral-only cycles. Guys will argue, you know, you have to have an injectable testosterone or, you know, you don't have to. But you do see people run D-ball solo. I think it can have a place. If you're just looking to get, you know, to break through a plateau, say on your bench press or your squat, you're trying to get that record and you're so close. If you wanted to just run it for 4 weeks, that's probably fine. You know, you're not going to, like, keep a ton of gains. You'll probably reach your goal. You won't need a crazy PCT for something like that. So, you know, I think it has a place to expect it to be what a 12-week, you know, injectable cycle would produce. It's honest, it's not going to happen. But it could be used different ways. Just like the other ones we've talked about that are orals, D-ball is liver toxic. Again, you got to be aware of these things when you're running these compounds. You're already going to be having strain on your heart, your prostate from using, you know, a compound like this. You don't want to forget about your liver. Your liver is a very important organ, guys. So, you know, you got to be aware of these things and chemically how they are and just keep doing your research on it. Guys get gyno from D-ball like crazy. It's probably the one, D-ball and testosterone, that produce the most gyno because guys just aren't aware. The aromatization is insane. So you need to run your AI, and you need to run it from day one because it will creep up so fast on you. The minute you start taking it, a few days, like it's just going to keep going. It aromatizes so fast. So right from day one, you need to be, you know, using your AI. What else? What am I missing?
Yeah, so dosages, I like using it to kickstart myself. If I had to use it, maybe the first 3-4 weeks of a long injectable cycle, 20 to 30 milligrams a day. I wouldn't go more, guys. You go more than that, you're going to get a shitload of aromatization. It's really not worth it. You can get great gains on 20 or 30 milligrams a day. I would not go higher. The side effects on D-Bol are all estrogen-based. So if you abuse it, you're going to get double the estrogenic side effects. So there's no reason to do that. You want to run your N2Guard with it. You want to run your AI with it. We can't say it enough. You got to run an AI with it. Don't wait, like what Matt was saying, to start noticing problems. By the time you notice problems, it's going to be too late. You're going to have to hop on Letro. You're going to have to run an anti-gyno stack, you know, if it gets to that point. So you don't want to get to that point. So, you know, that's how I use it. When you're running D-Bol, be very careful if you're running a stack that you're not stacking multiple aromatizing compounds. Maybe you run one wet compound with it, but also run one dry compound with it. Don't run D-Bol with two wet compounds. If you do, you open yourself up for estrogen problems. So, you know, that's the show, guys. We talked about these topics, guys. We gave you the history on these compounds. You know, take steroid use seriously, guys. This is our fourth episode. We always stress. We talk about this stuff, but this is in no way saying, hey, go run out and buy all these steroids and use them. You want to basically take care of your body. Don't use steroids until you're ready. If you haven't seen our first three episodes, haven't listened to them, I highly recommend go back and listen to them, guys. We appreciate you guys listening to evolutionary.org Hardcore Raw Radio. We will talk to you guys next time. Thanks for listening.